we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in this fine Wednesday morning. It's the day of our crafty Christmas kids party at church with all sorts of Christmas things, Christmas projects going on and decorating Christmas cookies and hot chocolate. If you can name a good thing that begins with the letter C, it's probably happening tonight in our kids program at Merritt Assembly of God. So if you are having your kids come, we do ask that you call and let us know about that, because we are giving away gifts to the kids that participate tonight, and we want to make sure that we have enough of those in place. So my name is Bob Arthurs, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are grateful for all of our listeners, and praying that you have a tremendous Christmas season. We want you to have a merry and healthy and prosperous Christmas and New Year season. So we do have our Christmas Sunday events coming up. Our kids are going to be doing a kids program Sunday morning, right at the beginning of service. So parents, you don't want to be late for that. And then Sunday night, we will be having our annual Christmas banquet. It is our gift from the church to those who attend and listen on a regular basis. If you're interested in coming, please contact us and let us know. We just like to make sure that we have plenty of food available. So it takes place in the sanctuary. You are amazed at how quickly our sanctuary can transition from our Sunday morning setup to a banquet setup. It revolutionizes in a very short period of time. And so we're really looking forward to everything that is coming up. And then a little closer to Christmas, we have our Christmas Eve service Saturday night, Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. That'll go from 6 to 7. And then we have Christmas Sunday. We don't have Sunday school that day, don't have Sunday night that day, but our service will begin at 11 a.m. So it'll be 11 a.m. to whenever I get done, but we'll be very conscientious of your time. So a great deal of celebrating to do. You know, recently I was at my church, it was a couple of days in a row, and there were just huge numbers of birds, and they were squawking and you know, talking with one another. I could hear them in my office very early of a morning. And, you know, I realized that God created them, and he watches over them, and he takes care of them, and they were all pretty good-sized birds, and God had taken care of them to grow them to that size. And I thought back to the scripture that his eyes, or, you know, the song that's based on the scripture, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I want to remind you that God is watching over you. He wants to care for you, and he will be an abundant provider on your behalf. Also, I did forget this. Our men's breakfast is Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. That'll be in the fellowship hall at the church. So we got a busy weekend of activities going on at Merritt Assembly of God, and invite you to come and be a part of those. I'm going to take you back to Isaiah 53 today. Not going to read the entire chapter. We've all pretty much, we did that on Monday, read the entire chapter again, and then we spent a couple of days there. I want to take you to verse number 7 today, Isaiah 53:7. It says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So it continues to talk about his oppression and his affliction. And then in verse number 7, right in the middle of that verse, it begins to tell people in advance what Jesus' response to the affliction and the oppression is going to be, and that is silence. As they make false accusation after false accusation over and over, as they continue to mock him and put him on trial, he says nothing. And one of the most primal instincts that we have is to defend ourselves. And even more intent are we on doing that when we know that either A, we did not do what we were being accused of, or B, we didn't intentionally do what we were being accused of, or C, we just made a mistake, but it wasn't malicious or anything like that. I've told you here on this program before that if you hear me say something incorrect, you know, understand I'm striving to do the best that I can, but every once in a while my mouth goes someplace where my brain knows that it's not supposed to go. And so I tell my kids at my house, and I tell my wife, and I've told this to the church, pay attention to what I mean, not to what I say. And I don't know if you ever get your tongue tangled or not, but every once in a while it happens to me. And so if you hear something, please be merciful. Please be merciful. And I will tell you that when somebody says something to you, you know, you want to defend yourself. You want to deny that that's what you said. But Jesus gives us the example, and he says, when I'm afflicted and I'm oppressed and I had done nothing to deserve all of this, that he would remain silent. And so when he was accused before Pilate, when he was accused before the high priest, he responded nothing until the high priest said, I adjure you by the Spirit of the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ? And then he said that he was. Pilate said, do you not realize that I have power to release you, or I have power to kill? And Jesus' response was, you would not have no power at all if it had not been given to you by my heavenly Father. And then later, when Pilate finds out that he claimed to be the king, the Son of God, then he was quite intent. And he said, you know, tell me. And Jesus refused to answer him. And so Pilate took water and he washed his hands. Jesus remained silent. Do you realize how hard it is to prove a negative? Do you realize how difficult it is to disprove an accusation? And so Jesus said, I have lived my life. I've lived it publicly. I've lived it teaching you. If there are false accusations to be made, if there are things that I said that are worthy of death, there should be a long line of people here to testify. But when they brought these accusations, they couldn't find anybody to agree as to what he had said until they had two false witnesses that came forward, and Jesus said nothing. What's your response when somebody attacks you? What's your response when somebody attacks your your family. Isn't it to defend yourself and come out and just verbally dress them down? But I'm here to tell you that Jesus' response was to say nothing. He wasn't giving them more ammunition. He wasn't trying to fight back. He was just there. The Bible tells us that we should live our life in such a way that if people make an accusation against us, that it should be considered so out of character that it would not even be considered. So I want to encourage you this Christmas season that if you are in the line of fire of the enemy, raise the shield of faith, not the ire of your tongue. Don't just insist on defending yourself, but instead, I encourage you, let God fight that battle for you. Live your life in holiness, live it in righteousness. I don't like to be punished. I like it less when I've done something that deserves to be punished. So I encourage you, use your mouth in a godly way. Don't exacerbate the problem. Don't make it worse by fighting back. It takes two parties to quarrel. It takes two parties. So a gentle answer turns away wrath. So I encourage you, let God be Lord over your mouth. It says he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. So it describes this journey that he is going to be accused. He is going to stand there silently. He's going to be put in prison. He's going to be judged. He's going to be cut off from the land of the living. And it says that the reason for that death would be because of our transgressions. Not his transgressions again, but our transgressions. So I just want to remind you that you and I, we need to use the measure of mercy. If I want mercy, I need to extend mercy. If I want forgiveness, I need to extend forgiveness. It doesn't work where I get to avail myself of forgiveness and mercy and I don't get to dispense it. That's not the way God's kingdom works. And so it says, for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Now I want you to realize that this is God that they were in covenant with. And he said, they were my people and they transgressed our covenant. And my son, my servant, my only begotten, he's going to be the one that pays the price for our sin. Someone always pays the price for transgressions. And I'm thankful that Jesus paid that price for me. I'm thankful that his death was not the end of the story. A lot of people think that it was a defeat. I want you to know it wasn't. So it goes on here in verse number 9. And it says, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And so here there are two groups of people that he's identified with at the very last part of his life and with his burial, and that was with the wicked and with the rich. Those two things generally are not associated together at this particular point in time. Normally, if you are going to be associated with one group of people at your death, it would be one or the other, not both and. But Jesus did not just come to die for one spectrum of society. He came to die for all. He came to die for those who were thieves, and he came to die for those who were what I would say would be considered quite wealthy. Thieves generally steal because they don't have something. They're looking to meet a need. They're looking for a way to support themselves. But it could be because of addiction issues. It could be because of bad choices. It could be because of difficult environments that they are in, whatever. But that's one side of society. They would be primarily taking from things from people that have something. By the way, the devil is called a thief. So you are not to be emulating his lifestyle. You're not supposed to be following his example. You are supposed to, if you were that before, you need a transformation in your life so that you will be able to work and that you would be able to provide. God gives us the ability to produce wealth. And so we need to take that opportunity that God has given to us, and we need to say, God, I'm not going to be a thief. I'm not going to be stealing. I'm going to be productive. I'm going to be a law-abiding citizen. I am going to be a good citizen and provide for the well-being of my community, not for the demise of my community. So don't do the things that would reflect more on the lifestyle of the devil than it would of Jesus. Now it goes on and it says that he's not only associated with the thieves, he was crucified between two thieves, one of which had an extremely foul mouth, one of which had a revelation that they deserved to be there because of their crimes, but Jesus did not deserve to be there because of his, and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm thankful for his redemptive capabilities. I don't care how low you are on society's social ladder today. Jesus wants to reach down and he wants to lift you up. And there are more of us that suffer financial lack than there are that have financial abundance. It's a smaller percentage at the top than it is at the bottom. And so a lot of times we focus a lot of our evangelistic efforts on people who are on the lower economic scale. But Jesus was not only associated with the wicked, but he was also associated with the rich. You see, when he died, there was a man, a follower of Jesus. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And he went to Pilate and he asked Pilate for permission to bury Jesus in his tomb that he had hewn out for his own burial. He was very wealthy. He had a lot of resources. You see, it is not money that is a problem. It is the love of money. And you can be guilty of having a love of money and not have any money. There are some people that are so enamored with that and so intent on chasing that they are missing out on the life that God has provided for them. And I want to encourage you that if you want to see resources increase, that you need to be faithful at your current level of finances and allow God to make you faithful over more. 20 years ago, we had some people that were doing work at our church, and they said, you know, hey, we realize the church doesn't have a lot of money at this point in time, and so we want to give you a discount. Now, at the time, I was selling shoes, and I was making about $7 an hour, and so when the bill came, they had charged me $25 an hour. And I should, at those days, my negotiating things, if somebody told me they were a Christian and they were going to give me a great rate, you know, I kind of took them at their word. And all of a sudden I'm looking at this large bill that I have, and it's like, oh my goodness. And I said, I thought you said that you were going to give me a discount, because you got to realize that's three, almost four times what I was accustomed to making. And they said, well, we did give you a discount because normally we charge $45 an hour. And I was praying about that situation because I want to be a good steward of the finances. And this is what God told me. He said, I want you to honor him. I want you to pay him what he asks, because if you begrudge him what he is making, then I will never be able to entrust that amount of money to you. And I said, God, I honor him. I thank him for his skills. I thank him for his work that he's done here. And we came to an understanding, and we paid the bill. And I like, praise God. I pray that for our church, that everybody in our church will be blessed by God into the upper tax brackets, into the highest tax brackets. Not so that they have to pay more taxes, but they will have been so blessed of God that they will find themselves in that position where they are being blessed, and they have no problem participating in our tax system. And so here Jesus is crucified with the wicked. Everybody is watching him, as far as centurions and soldiers, the people of Jerusalem. And then he's buried with the rich. He did all of that because his soul, it says, was an offering for sin. In verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Jesus gave his life as an offering for our sin. That is heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking. I was reading a Facebook post that one of the people from our church had posted not too long ago, and it wasn't something that they had written, something they had read, and they copied it and posted. And they said, if you are trapped in the sin and ask forgiveness, and I didn't read the whole article. I got captivated at that point. They said, if you are in that cycle of sin and ask forgiveness, that there is a better way to live. And I want to encourage you to allow God to change your perspective and allow us to see what sin does to the heart of God, what it does to the Father. It brings tremendous pain. What it does to other people. There are no victimless crimes. There are no victimless sins in society. There are things that take place, and people say, well, there's no real victim here. That's an argument that is used for pornography. And so I want to encourage you to maybe have a change of perspective and say, do I want somebody, some person looking at my daughter like that? Do I want them looking at my wife like that? Do I want them looking at my granddaughter, which I don't have at this point in time, but do I want them looking at my granddaughter like that? And the answer is no, then why would I do that to someone else's daughter? And when you find out that there is no such thing as a victimless, that many of those people are trapped in addictions and they are looking for ways to provide money to feed their addictions, and the more into the sin that they go, the more lust increases and the more depraved that they have to go, and then they try and numb themselves and anesthetize themselves to the pain that they are experiencing on every level of society until one day they end up dying. I'm here not talking to you about theory today. A person that I knew very early in my life died that death. I know what I'm talking about. It's not a victimless issue. Jesus made an offering for our sins. He paid the price for our sins, and we need to say, thank you, Jesus, and help me never to do those things again. He shall see his seed. I love this because now I'm beginning to see in Isaiah 53, as we go through, by the time we get here, now we're beginning to see that even though he's been killed and even though he's been buried, that he's given his life for a sin, yet he shall see his seed. There is something on the other side of the cross, something other on the other side of the grave, and that is the resurrection of power of Jesus Christ. And he shall see his seed, and his days shall be prolonged. The enemy tried to cut them short, but God said, I will enable you to see what comes after you. Your days will be prolonged. Listen to what it says here. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And I got to thinking that we describe ourselves as being held in the hands of God, and that when Jesus came, he came to do God's will. He came to do his pleasure. And the will of God, the pleasure of the Lord, is going to prosper in his hand. You and I, we need to understand that being right in the center of God's will is the best place on the earth to be. It may not always be the easiest, but it will always be the best. Don't cut and run. I know that there is a temptation to do that, but I'm can tell you from personal experience that there was a time when I, you know, now we've come through 24 years of ministry at Merit Assembly of God, and there was a time where I said, God, I can't do this forever. It was a very difficult season. The church, the first 3-4 years that we were there, had very little income. It was very difficult on our family. And I said, God, I can't continue to do this. I said, I've got about one more year that I can put into this at this pace. And then, God, I got to do something for my family if you don't do something. And the temptation was to cut and run. And if I did that, I would have missed seeing some of the greatest miracles, some of the greatest provision that God had ever done. And too many people do that, and then they get stunted in their growth, and they get stuck, and they just go and they repeat the same thing over and over and over again. God here talks about the resurrection that would take place. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. You know, at the end of the day, if you work with your hands, you get to look at the food that you made and say, man, that was beautiful. That was really good. If you're a craftsman, you can see your work at the end of the day and say, oh, wow, that is really good. But here, Jesus looks at us and we are the end result. Our lives are the end result. And at the end of the day, he looks and he is satisfied. He looks, and I looked up the word satisfied. It means satiated. It means through and through, that it is just something that is not just superficial. It is complete contentment throughout your life. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. The result is many people will be justified because of the work of Jesus Christ. Let me close Isaiah 53 with this. And he made intercession for the transgressors. I want you to know that Jesus is interceding for me. And Jesus is interceding for you. And he is interceding for your family. And he's interceding for your loved ones who have yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Jesus went through everything that is prophesied in Isaiah 53 for the joy on the other side of the cross. And he's praying, Father, it's not in vain. Everything that I did was not in vain. We're going to save those people. And I know this, God has a plan to bring your loved ones back to faith in Christ. He's praying for you right now. Let me pray for you, Father. May your will prosper in our hands. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.